When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We've discovered a signal. She can feel it. Kong, Godzilla, they can feel it too. Something is coming. Something even they're afraid of.
You feel like going for a ride?
Thought you'd never ask.
Just try not to swallow your tongue.
What? Is that a mini Kong?
Oh my God.
That's not just a signal. That's a call for war.
Da, 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 da!
You sound insane. You realize that?
Yeah.
The whole world gone crazy!
Are you serious?
Ladies and gentlemen!
It's showtime.
We have two of the literal biggest movie stars in history teaming up to answer the most difficult algebra question ever. It's Godzilla times Kong equals New Empire. I'm your host, Brian Gill, joined as always by, I think, pretty unanimously considered the Godzilla and King Kong of movie podcasting, my co-hosts, Kent Garrison and Richard Barton. Fellas, how's it going?
As long as I'm Godzilla, I'm good.
Okay.
No, I'll be Kong. I like Kong. Okay. Sweet. I'm more of an ape guy than a lizard guy, so.
That is your... Your tattoo.
My Hinge profile. Right. Yeah.
That's good.
It's Monkey good. Man, I'm just happy to be a Mothra for this weekend.
You know, that's
you,
all.
Yeah, you got big Mothra energy.
That's right.
Big year for you, though, RB, though. I mean, you got this, you got Monkey Man, you've got Planet of the Apes later this year. I mean, if you're into ape cinema, I mean, it's going to be
ape the Bored Ape movie. Yeah. Brought to you by the people who did BlackBerry.
Bored Ape movie. Oh, we need that.
Who plays Seth Green, though? That's what I want to know.
Seth Green.
Kent broke that to me. When
I broke that to Richard last weekend when Richard and I...
I didn't know about that somehow. I really? Repressed it.
Richard and I went to the symphony like bros
Bill Maher, right?
Do, you know?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, we thought it was Bill Maher. Turns out it was Gustav Mahler. We were livid.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Sorry, guys.
Yeah.
Mahler, I hardly know her.
That was a great one by Kent. There's a lot of that.
But I broke that news to Richard of the Seth Green NFT show. That was like Cheers, but with NFTs. It was a real thing. And I sent him the trailer.
Having that verbally explained to you and letting it kind of wash over you is a unique experience that I wish more people could have had. Without, I was driving, so I couldn't like access imagery or anything of it like we normally would if someone was breaking that news to you. So I just had to kind of put it in my mind's eye. And then Kent sent it to me the next day, and it was
better or worse than you imagine.
Worse. Yeah. Worse.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm an optimist, you know. My imagination can only go so terribly. Yeah.
What a time in our lives, you know.
As I would society, be excited for Bored Apes v Godzilla, though. I'd be excited for that.
It'd be a good time. We should get those as NFTs, maybe.
don't do that.
We're here to talk. This is the fifth installment of this MonsterVerse. So there are many Godzilla movies, including one that came out last year that was incredible. There are many King Kong movies, some of which are very good as well. This universe that we are discussing, and we have discussed several times now over the course of the show, is the one that began with Godzilla 2014, I believe. And then we moved into Kong Skull Island, Godzilla King of the Monsters, Godzilla versus Kong, and now Godzilla times Kong, the New Empire. 2 weeks in a row, I think, for an Empire movie. That's interesting. I don't know if that was planned or not. But this is where we are. This is
Sam
where
Mendes are. Is livid right now. He missed the window. Yeah.
Man, I don't even think I ever watched that movie. That was a wild time. That was a big that had Oscar buzz, and then no one saw it. Kind of.
That's my favorite kind of movie when things are made. I think Mendes is overrated a bit as a director sometimes, but he's done some really cool stuff, and obviously Olivia Colman is brilliant. And I do like, though, so it's nothing against them, but it is fun when something is made completely with Oscars in mind and then is an overtly bad movie. That is like, it only happens every few years. Normally that protects you if you have those kind of aspirations of at least the worst case you can be is mediocre. It's great when those are like, oh no, this is really bad. That's always funny.
Yeah, we're here to talk Godzilla versus King Kong, or I guess Times King Kong, excuse me. Like I said, fifth movie.
X is with. Should that be the word
I'm
with?
I'm going with Times. It's an algebra problem for me.
Times Kong.
This is where I really struggle.
Oh, we're multiplying them by each other.
Yeah. That's
okay, that's kind of a team-up scenario, though.
It is.
Maybe addition.
We've talked about these movies quite a bit, so I'm excited to get into them with you guys again. Richard, you had a box office note you wanted to talk about, though, right off the top.
Yeah, I was going to play a quick guessing game with you. I don't know if you guys had to take a look at this. So we are through Q1 of the year, believe it or not. I know the Oscars were just like 2 years ago, or 2 weeks ago, but we are a quarter of the way through this movie year, and I wanted to give you guys some guesses. So on the worldwide box office numbers, there are 10 top 10 movies of the year thus far. Four of them are Chinese language, like pretty much exclusively in China. So we'll leave those out. So can you guess out YOLO? We'll take out Pegasus 2, Article 20, and Boonie Bears, which are Chinese language movies.
I had Boonie Bears on my list.
Yeah, sorry. And we will so see if you can guess. So this is, I thought, would be a fun little game because there's some interesting ones in here that surprised me.
All right, I'm not cheating here. I'm going
to
complete.
This is worldwide gross, by the way. This is not just U.S., so that's a key to note.
No screens open, anything. You have my word. Mm-hmm. Dune 2.
Dune 2 is number one. That is number one. So good guess there. Ken is one. Got one off the board. Five more to go. Brian, you have any guesses?
I'm trying to think what we've even seen this year.
I will say we have not done episodes on two of these.
Okay, Kung Fu Panda 4. Mm-hmm.
Actually, three of these. Yep. Kung Fu Panda 4 is the number four, and the second English language movie. Kung Fu Panda 4 is $350 million worldwide. Okay. Three more to go. And I will say number 10, the lowest one is at $110 million worldwide.
Okay. That's good to know. I'll say Godzilla X Kong.
Godzilla X Kong. Yep. Big, big opening week for it. It's at $202 million at number seven. So you got. Three, you actually still have three more. Yeah, three more here.
Okay.
Ryan, you got a guess? I can't even remember what's been out this year other than Argyle and Madame Web, and those didn't make.
Those are not on the list, no. God. But there are some
Are they all 2024 movies, or are they? Okay.
Yeah, for the most, yeah.
How about The Beekeeper?
Mm-hmm. At number nine, The Beekeeper. Yes. Jason Statham's $152 million. Done well. All right, two more. One of which we've done an episode on.
Oh gosh,
Madam Web.
I might have to cheat.
Nope. We've got Ghostbusters: Frozen Empire number 10.
Oh, okay. All
right. $110 million, and the number eight movie of the year worldwide. I'm just going to give this soon to you.
The with Bob 100, Marley movie.
Yep, $175 million. One love. Bob Marley. $175 million. It's made $100 million in profit.
Man.
So what a time.
More of those.
Yeah. Cool. The cinematic universe.
Well, they spent like $900 million on marketing. So
Ziggy shows up in the post credits.
It was marketed pretty aggressively for like
a year.
Months. So
It's like last July I was getting bombarded with it.
I thought that was interesting for a quarter of the year that's still up there. The Beekeeper, kind of a sneaky hit. Sure. You know, Kung Fu Panda and Dune, you expect. But so the list in all is Dune Part 2, number one, YOLO Part 2, or is number two, which is a Chinese film, Pegasus 2, which is a Chinese film, Kung Fu Panda 4, Article 20, which is a Chinese film, Boonie Bears Time Twist, which is an animated Chinese film, number six, and then 7, 8, 9, 10 are Godzilla X Kong, which obviously will continue to go up these rankings, Bob Marley One Love, The Beekeeper, and Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. So, gentlemen.
Wow.
To better quarters ahead.
Not the best quarter we've ever had, but not the worst, probably. No, we've seen some. It was pretty bleak in February, but you know, we've come around just a little bit, at least.
Question: while we're on this subject, are we going to get a summer movie draft in, or?
It's my plan. So, a little inside baseball. Like, I'm in the process of moving, plus, you know, just work and life, and I'm going to have to renovate this house that we're moving into a lot, and a lot of work being done there. I've had less time, but I asked Highlander, one of our VIPs, who usually helps me out with the draft. I asked him to put a list together this weekend, and he did. My goal is for the VIPs to draft. So if you want to be part of movie draft for prizes and pride and bragging and bullying and all that sort of stuff, you want to go to madamadmoviespodcast.com/VIP. My plan is for us to do that with the movies, starting with the movies that come out in May. So this month will not be part of our movie draft, but the idea is to do from May to December with some sort of plans on additional movies or substitutions, you know, for when something gets dropped and things like that. But we're going to do it. And you and I can't need to do our payoff bets. I haven't even told you what movie I need you to watch for that.
Yeah.
I haven't done my part on that either. But in the next couple of weeks, we'll get all of those things.
And we'll get the Lady Ballers review from Brian. Yeah.
You guys cannot chose wait.
Have you watched
chose
it
chose a banger.
You'll keep delaying it. No. Oh, okay.
Maybe this.
He's watching a minute.
I love
minute
that
a day
you've probably considered it multiple times. You're just like, can I do it right now? No.
Yeah.
Don't
exactly.
Don't have it right now. Keep pushing
do
it
have
back.
The fortitude to handle this. Yeah. Yes. My goal is to do that and to live tweet it in the Discord too, like as I'm watching it and with some help, you know. So we'll see how that goes. The Discord's gonna get a message at like 10 o'clock on a random Thursday night or something and be like, all right, let's do this. And it's exactly
for posterity
where people listen to the travelogue. So a little box office stuff here. So you mentioned it, Richard. This movie had a budget of only $135 million, which seems like a miracle in today's climate. It was tracking early in the weekend for Easter weekend. It was tracking at $135 million worldwide. It ended up at over $195 million worldwide. So that's a huge, huge, huge turnout for a much larger than expected even coming into the weekend. So big win for all involved with this one. I'm going to go to you first, Kent. We've done reviews on all of these movies now, but just to give a little refresher on where you were at coming into this movie and level of anticipation, how you feel about this series as a whole and all that good stuff. Get us started.
I don't know if there's a series I look forward to more than Godzilla, King Kong. In terms of just like, I'm going to go spend 2 hours in a theater and... Mm. Knowing what I'm going to get. I mean, Fast and Furious was up there, but it's trailed off in the last few years of at least knowing, okay, for the next 2 hours, it's going to be passable at best. It's going to be Godzilla at worst, you know? And I really looked forward to this one, even though these trailers were not great. This movie didn't look great to me. Go back and listen to our Godzilla versus Kong episode for how I felt about that one. But the direction they started to go, I wasn't too crazy about with the Hollow Earth stuff and just stretching this as kind of far as they're going to go. Even though Godzilla is a series that prides itself, or at least our Toho side of it, prides itself on being sort of outlandish and having insane like Space Godzilla and... I mean, it's a giant flying moth, for crying out loud. You know, like, I think there's an inherent campiness that you kind of have to embrace with these. But at the same time, I think there is a realism that you can go for that really takes these movies from campy, these are movies my weird brother might like, to, like, these could be global blockbusters, you know? And I think Gareth Edwards really did push us in that direction. You know, with his reboot, which this is still continuing off of, it strayed further from the path with each and every film that he set. But at the same time, it's got Godzilla and King Kong, so I can't be too angry about it. It's gotten to the point where there is no real movie stars attached to these anymore. The movie stars are Godzilla and Kong, which I kind of do appreciate that self-awareness to know, like, the audience is here to see Godzilla and Kong do stuff. So that's kind of nice. But at the same time, this could have used Millie Bobby Brown. This could have used Bryan Cranston in some areas. So I don't know how I feel about that. Yeah, I mean, I think Gareth Edwards' movie was still the best of this MonsterVerse. I'm still hopeful, or I still think. I mean, we saw Godzilla Minus One last year, which was hugely successful critically. I'm sure it made a ton of money globally, but I don't think it was a huge hit in the U.S. as big as this was. And I'm sure the language barrier is the main reason for that. But I still think there's another version of Godzilla that's still yet to come that's going to be like the true defining Godzilla film, at least for the American audience. I still don't think we've had that, even though these are well-received, if that makes sense. I think there's a lot of meat left on the bone, Brian, with this series. And even though these are really fun, this movie was terrible, and I loved it.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I can vibe with a lot of that. I think 2014's Godzilla is a pretty great movie, all things considered. I rewatched that one a few times since, and I still feel like it gets this sense of scale really well. Like the terror of Godzilla, like the first time that he shows up, especially is pretty spectacular. And then the last sequence where you've got the parachuters coming down, you know, basically against the backdrop of Godzilla is really great. Great sequence. Great stuff. Really dig that movie. Yeah, for me, a lot of these have been sort of diminishing returns since then, but they are still undoubtedly a lot of fun and a good time at the theater. The last one, Godzilla versus Kong, for a fair amount of people was like the return to theaters post COVID. Like that movie made $100 million domestically, $470 worldwide. I got my COVID shot like that day or the day before, went to see the movie, and then went out with a couple of people and watched the Jalen Suggs Final Four game, which was pretty awesome. Like a great communal experience after really not having any of that for like a year. So there's, and then I was super sick the next day because of the vaccine, because of the 5G in my body. And so that one has like a sort of a soft spot in my heart because of sort of where it stood in history. But overall, these are a whole lot of fun, even if they're generally pretty dumb. Richard, remind me where you stand on these movies, on this MonsterVerse.
Yeah, so I certainly understand the sentiment that both of you are expressing, because I have this. I remember texting Brian few weeks ago about, saw the trailer for that like Guy Ritchie Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare, and I was like, that looks terrible, I can't wait to watch it, it's gonna be awesome. So we all have these movies. Monster movies are not it for me. I don't even really love the good ones. The mediocre to bad ones, it just doesn't, you know, I just see them as bad movies. I get it. I mean, I understand everyone's got their kind of I don't know if guilty pleasure is the right word, but genres you are more forgiving of things of, because you just like the world and the aesthetic and the whatever the logic is around it. So this is not mine. So yeah, I didn't love this, and I won't give it like a good grade or a horrible grade, but I mean, it's just Minus One last year was really good, but I don't, you know, that's kind of a different thing. And this coming on the heels of that certainly doesn't help it in my eyes. It's silly popcorn fun. And that's great. But like, I don't find those kind of like set pieces, stunts, whatever you want to call them, thrilling. I don't know. Does that make sense? Like that kind of monster stuff does not thrill me viscerally. And so I think that's a big thing that it kind of has to for that to work. And I just see CGI on screen. I don't know.
Yeah. It doesn't, the way these have, I mean, I'm kind of with you with these new, this one, and it started with Versus, I think. I think Kong Skull Island, which means basically nothing now at this point. I was trying to think about that. I guess if you need to know what Skull Island is because of the little girl in this, then that makes sense.
It's origin story at this point.
It's very, it kind of loosely talks about Monarch and stuff, but I mean, you could have not seen that and been totally fine. But I feel like that one even was a little more like grounded in reality than, I mean, these are just so CG'd out. And like there's no physics involved at all. Like the camera is just flying around in all kinds of impossible ways. You know, they're so pre-vised out, if that makes sense, that they don't feel like somebody's there on set shooting Godzilla walking down the street or anything like that. Like there's feels like none of that, especially with the Hollow Earth stuff, Brian.
Yeah, no, it's I think all good points. I tend to check out on heavy action stuff. It's rarely a major drawing point for me. It's like, it's cool. I like movies. It's a weird thing. It's like, I really like movies that have a lot of action in them. And, you know, I think of the three of us, I'm probably the most drawn to blockbuster kind of, stupid entertainment and whatnot. But my eyes kind of glaze over a lot during action sequences. It's just, especially at this point, you know, probably wasn't that way 10 years ago, but it definitely is now. So there's a ton of that. The weird space that I personally will get into, I should phrase it that way, with this series is, I think I probably am a little hypocritical both ways, where it's like, so I watched that Monarch series and I was like, this is way too much character development about characters I don't care about and not nearly enough kaijus and Godzilla and stuff. And then sometimes I'll watch maybe this movie and be like, it's not necessarily that I want more character development. It's that this is a lot of CGI monster fighting. And that tends to, if not bore me, then it like, again, I just kind of like, okay. And I'm like pre fast forwarding it in my brain almost of like, okay, like I get it. There'll be some really cool shots within this, and otherwise I'm like, yeah, that's fine. Let's move on to whatever the next plot point is. I think that's one of the reasons why the 2014 Godzilla was so good, is because those action sequences, a lot of them looked, I struggle to use the word realistic given the material, but they looked closer to something that was, for me, that looked like it was practical. Versus kind of where we're at with this at this point. With that said, I do think it's a lot of fun just watching these two interact. This is way more of a King Kong movie than it is a Godzilla movie, I think, which is fair because I think it was 2-1 coming into this one, or two.
I mean, two the last one was one way coming in. It was way King Kong too. And now we're two in a row. Yes. It's King Kong.
Sure.
Hopping around.
I think King Kong is a more interesting,
it's a humanizing character.
During this world. Like the King Kong, or excuse me, the Godzilla in Godzilla Minus One, I thought was as interesting as a giant lizard monster can be. This Godzilla, I think, is a little bit less interesting on that standpoint. And just King Kong is easier, like you said, Kent, is easier to humanize and express emotion and things like that. And so it totally makes sense why they've gone that direction. I think that King Kong is cooler when we're doing more of dialogue or character or whatever you want to call it. King Kong works better on that. The action with Godzilla is better. I still get kind of pumped up when Godzilla gets charged up with the supercharge. Sure. Or whatever. And like the noise that vroom, 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 yeah, as he is really cool. And the different ways that through the course of this series where they have, shown his power charging or changed, evolved his power a little bit has been really cool. I enjoy that quite a bit still. It is, to Richard's point, it is a lot of just kind of like, okay, and now the CGI of these two giant kaijus destroying each other or destroying other monsters that are around them. But overall, I think, you know, I think it's pretty fun. I don't know. Richard, I'm going to go back to you because I know, Kent, this is way more Kent's world, and I want to get, I loved your idea of this is bad, but I loved it. I want to come back to you on that in a second. What if anything, and the answer may just be nothing. Mm-hmm. What, if anything, could make you enjoy this series a little bit more or get into this world, this MonsterVerse?
I think things that like Minus One did where you don't really see the monsters. I like the off-screen monsters. The minute I like the world that they are living in where there are monsters, I think that's mm-hmm. a fun thing to be afraid of. That any moment these things could rise out of the ocean and crush a city. All right. That's cool. That has some inherent drama to it. And I think that's fine. The minute I see them, I go, oh, it's big lizard and a gorilla. Mm-hmm. And I kind of just, you know, and again, not in judgment. There's a lot of stupid stuff that I love too. So like, it just, that one doesn't get me. So I'm just immediately like out of it. Don't care. So showing the monsters, not at all, but still showing like rubble and having people plot to kill the monsters, I think if it was done well, could get me into it. Sure.
I think in general, I probably would have agreed with you. The Monarch series, I watched it all and I found it to be fine, but that kind of was what you're describing. And I was bored through most of it. And so it was this weird, I think before I started watching that series, I was probably saying the exact same thing of like, it's going to be really cool to just like see people try to exist in this world and then have, you know, monsters pop up here and there. And then when I was actually watching, I was like, well, but actually this world's kind of boring because it's just scientists and people like trying to recover from unnatural disasters and whatnot. But I do think that maybe part of the struggle on that show was you have Kurt Russell, you have Wyatt Russell, and then you had a whole lot of other actors who I'm sure are fine, but I wasn't drawn to them or their characters very much at all. And I felt like that was sort of a miss on that front. You needed, if you're going to do that world, I think you probably need to have more compelling characters and actors. And that was a bit of a miss on that. I can't remember. Did you watch the Monarch series?
I did. I thought it was well done in terms of production value. Like it felt just like the movies, which was nice. Like didn't feel like a TV show version. Sure. Thought it looked better than this, to be quite honest with you.
Okay. And, interesting.
I could see what they were doing there. I like the idea of we'll give you a 1 hour monster of the week type show, where mm-hmm. you know there's going to be at least one scene where a giant monster shows up every episode,
yeah.
which was nice. I mean, and they're all different mm-hmm. monsters too. It wasn't just Godzilla. It was, you know, all kinds of different titans kind of show up.
Law and Order Special Monsters Unit.
Yeah. I think the
better than that one. That one
and it had
weird.
Durs and loved Durs.
Yeah.
Especially in like a dramatic role, which you don't see him in much. So it was cool. But yeah, no, I'm with you. I think what they do get with this is that Godzilla is really awesome and you don't want to show him too much because then he ceases to be awesome. But I am kind of with you on you can focus more on Godzilla storylines without showing Godzilla himself. Mm. And maybe that's what I wanted more of. Like to me in the old Godzilla movies, the best is just like the Ed Harris control room scenes of everybody freaking out, trying to figure out where he's going to go next and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, maybe some more of that. Although
okay.
the Godzilla moments in this movie, there's some really cool ones. Fighting the giant crab was pretty awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I was going to ask. So talk to us about what you liked in this movie. What stuck out to you as a plus here?
Like I said, I think leaning into what people are there to see, which is Godzilla and Kong, was not a bad choice. The choice to separate them into the A plot and the B plot, where if you're a fan of both, great, because every time, every scene, you're excited for something, right? But if you're not a Kong fan, you know, okay, at least we got Godzilla coming up soon here. Yeah, so they complement each other well in the story. And then when they come together at the end, it's quite a moment. Something I did love about Gareth Edwards' movies, though, was the scale of Godzilla was like, not that, he looks so big, but it was the way, like, he can't move super fast because he's freaking Godzilla. In these movies, they move like ninjas through the air, and they're like, you know, like, I can't really imagine that would it be the case in reality, but, I mean, this is a Hollow Earth movie, so at the end of the day, there is no reality. I think the Hollow Earth stuff looks awesome, though. I mean, I will say, yeah. like, the whole thought of that the design of that. It's not ever explained really in the movie super well, which it doesn't really have to be. It's just, oh, the Earth is hollow and weird stuff lives down there. Although I did find it hilarious how Rebecca Hall is giving this lecture. And she's like, we've only discovered or explored 5% of the hollow Earth so far. We need money to go do more, whatever she's saying. And then later in the movie, they discover, you know, this other tribe of apes. And she's like, that's impossible. It's like, you just said you've only charted 5% of this. It's like they're, and you said this is where King Kong is from. But there's, it's impossible for there to be more apes. Like, she was just mind blown that there was more apes down here other than Kong.
And, like, a lot. Oh, like, God, what? Five, you know? Yeah.
Impossible. And I love, I don't know whether to be upset or happy about the podcaster being the only guy who knows anything in the movie, which is kind of funny. But I like how they did.
Our life is, man. Us and Joe Rogan. We know it all.
Last thing I have here on the likes, though, Brian, is I like how they took that group dynamic of the kind of original King Kong movies. Of you've got the guy that's the explorer. You've got the woman who's attached to King Kong. You've got the photographer guy who's just trying to document the whole experience. You know, I did like that dynamic playing itself out again.
Yeah, that was fun. That was fun. I thought that was pretty good. The
although this dialogue and script, everything's bad. It's bad. So, bad direction, yeah, I mean, bad, you, bad.
I didn't think the direction was terrible. Oh, I mean, the script is like kind of what I thought it would be. You know, you're again, that is something that I think that 2014 Godzilla gets right. And even Skull Island has that in some spots where it seemed like they actually spent a little time on the script. Whereas this one, not really so much. Although I kind of liked Dan Stevens' character, the vet. I thought that was fun. I figured that was like a very, Charlton Copley kind of role, but like one that I enjoyed, unlike most of his bits and his roles. But I thought he was a good addition to this cast. It's like you don't need a ton of character development or great acting or anything like that, but you do. It is better when those actors are compelling actors or at least are doing something interesting with their role. There's not a ton of that here. Doesn't really have to be necessarily, but it might have added. It might have been a little bit additive, even if it's not, you know, something that you're really missing, if that makes sense. I think, yeah, I agree with you on that. I also like Hollow Earth, but it's a cool landscape. I don't know what else. I don't know how much else you can really do with it. And so, you know, what's that going to look like moving forward, because there are definitely more of these movies coming. This was very successful, and these movies continue to be successful. So you're going to keep running it out, and I don't know what else you're going to really do with it at this point, which is okay. Maybe that's not the major factor for this review, but it is something to maybe keep an eye on, I guess, moving forward here. What didn't you like here? What was the, we've touched on a couple of things, but anything specific jump out at you of this would have made this a better experience for me, for as somebody who really digs this series?
Yeah. It felt like it had 19 studio executives giving notes and they all got approved. Mm. Oh, we need 10 King Kongs. Oh, we need a baby Kong. Like all that stuff feels like just focus group sequel bullcrap. That didn't add to the story to me. And it just makes King Kong even less cool when there's 19 of them, in my opinion. I think that's what made King Kong, what it's great. The eighth wonder of the world. Like, what is this? You know, there's nothing like this ever. And now we're just in a world where it's the planet of the apes, basically.
I'm going to go to you first, Richard. What did you think of the sort of the mythology, the like chosen one part of this whole thing? For me, that was a weak spot and could have been cut out. It maybe entirely or certainly reworked.
Sure. Yes. In a vacuum. Sure. I don't have that. Like, I've seen all these the last 10 years but they don't stick with me. So I can't compare them to like mythology. And I certainly have not done Not trying to cop out here at all, but I certainly have not done like the, I don't have like Kent knows the all the different perhaps versions and things like that that could be different types of timelines, things like that. I don't have that knowledge whatsoever. So, you know, it's just kind of like a little cheesy Godzilla movie to me, but no better nor worse than some of the others, but it didn't work for me. But most of the time they don't.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's them just trying to keep the history of Kong alive with having Skull Island having some significance in this universe in a world where it has no relevance in the story otherwise, unless they had that. So I think that's really why. I mean, I can't think of any other reason why we needed that character in the movie, you know, the little girl character.
Yeah. It's not tough. Great. It's like, actually, last movie especially, I really liked, I thought that dynamic was kind of cool and gave you, again, like kind of humanizes King Kong a little bit and gives you gives the audience a touch in this story that isn't just giant monsters and whatnot. I think I don't mind it necessarily. I think where I was like, okay, we've gone too far is when it gets into like a prophecy kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I feel like we need like a 5-year moratorium on that kind of thing. It's been done so many times, and I understand why it's been done a million times, and it's not like, I'm not one of these people that's like, well, that's not original, or so that's not good, or, you know, whatever.
Not what happened.
It's not what happened. It's just there. You gotta have for me, it's this. It's, there's gotta be a good reason for us to get into a chosen one kind of prophecy thing at this point, because we have seen it done so many times. When it's not well done, or when it's just like sort of feel shoehorned into it, I check out. I tend to roll my eyes and just kind of check out on it. I don't know. I like mythology too, and I think I understand the impulse of self-mythologizing within these movies, or like overdoing it on that front. I think I do understand that impulse, because you're in it, you love this world that you're creating, all these things. But then also I'm like, okay, but we probably don't need to do that. That's an addition to this plot that isn't super important, necessary, or really even all that, you know, engaging when it really comes down to it.
Yeah.
But that's me personally.
No, I'm with you. And another cliche of the movie that I've written down here, that's, we might have to keep track of this one, guys. We might have to keep a tally going forward, other movies. Disturbed kid parent-teacher conference scene. Oh, hey, your kid, just want to talk to you about Timmy. He's been drawing some really disturbing things in class. I think you might need to talk to Timmy. I can't with that.
Yeah, it's
10 minutes of the movie was that.
Yeah. That was a pretty incredible product placement too. On
like, I think a kid might be different. Yeah, he had a freaking mental connection with King Kong. I know.
It turns out.
Yeah.
Yeah. That wasn't great, but it was great product placement on that VW SUV, because it was like a full on. Just her standing next to it was like an actual commercial. For VW. They didn't talk about the 40s though, so that's, I guess, yeah, that's fine. Yeah.
What was the point of the tooth removal replacement? That was a cool like moment, but I thought, okay, this is gonna come back around at some point. Like this tooth is what's gonna be that saves them or something. It just never came. He's mentioned.
All they only reference it one time when the Scar King or whatever looks at him and sees,
yeah, they focus in on the tooth, whatever,
and
right?
He laughs at him. But yeah, there's no, it's not nothing comes out of it otherwise. So I have got to imagine there's something that got left on the floor that
maybe
that was going to bring that in, because otherwise that's another like kind of like, well, this is just, it's fine. Like that scene was actually pretty cool.
I thought the baby Kong was going to rip the tooth out of King Kong and use it as a weapon against or something. You know what I mean? Like that was going to be the thing that took this thing over the top. The CG on every ape but Kong was really bad. Like you could tell the entire budget went to Kong, which I guess it probably should. But
So that is one of my complaints here, is this feels like a stupid complaint, and I understand, because we're talking about a movie about a giant lizard teaming up with or fighting a giant monkey. The scale of it's not just Godzilla and Kong, it's all of them. The scale seems to change for me, like scene to scene,
yes,
almost, of like how big these creatures are. And I feel like that's something that should be relatively easy to get right. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't seem like, maybe it's just not
everyone
a priority. Maybe I'm dumb. I don't know. But like, it wasn't just in this movie. It happens in some of the other ones as well. But there are scenes where it feels like this is the appropriate scale for how huge these things are. And then there are scenes where it looks like Power Rangers, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm, almost just from a scale standpoint. And I don't really know what to make of that. But it feels like that's something you should be able to figure out personally.
I think it's the impossible CG camera that floats through the air, doing like the drone shots, basically the movie. They remove any, mm-hmm, sense of scale, mm-hmm, that you might have from being on the ground, having a person stand next to it. I mean, look at, mm-hmm, what Denis did with Dune, and just having shots with like somebody literally in the bottom of the frame, completely out of like the subject's view, you know, but just to set the scale is super important. And they really ignored that with, mm-hmm, these. And they're straying further from what Gareth Edwards did with that, with each of,
right,
these.
Right. Yeah.
For that one to even be associated with this movie is kind of, does that movie a disservice? Because if you saw this one, you wouldn't want to be like, yeah, oh, I want to go see the first Godzilla movie now. You know, like,
yeah. Well, I mean, they are. They're so different. They're so different in what the tone and what they're going for and all that stuff. And at the same time, it's like, yeah, but it made a lot of money, and it's fine. It's not like the first one was a documentary, and then they, you know, became kind of silly, ridiculous action movies. But you're right. That movie has a decisively different tone and feel than these movies do, I think, than the ones that have come. Even Skull Island, like, sort of is grounded in that a little bit, and then some places not. But yeah,
even King of the Monsters was what felt more like that, like that, than this did. King of the Monsters, I went back and watched. It'd be one of my favorites. I really like that one.
Cooper really loves these movies. He's been watching all of them over the last few weeks leading up to this one. King of the Monsters was the one where I was kind of checked out the most, I think.
Bradley Whitford.
I
don't
care about that one.
I mean, the Arctic scene with Ghidorah.
You got Kyle Chandler, you got Connie Britton, you got, yeah,
Rodan. There's some really cool, like, just moments in that movie that are just for, with the, you know, the monsters.
Yeah.
I liked how, I thought it was funny how Hollow Earth wasn't enough. We need to go even to Hollow Earth of the Hollow Earth. Mm-hmm. So now there's another level below that.
This Earth is so hollow, what are guys. You have no idea. Yeah. Right.
I just want to be in the room when they're coming up with this stuff. It's like, what if?
I know.
What if, guys? Yeah. There's a little secret pocket down there. And there's 50 King Kongs inside that little
hall. All the Kongs live there. All of them. Yeah. But you're right. That does lose some of what makes King Kong special when it just becomes Planet of the Apes. And maybe, in fairness, maybe a part of my feeling on that is that there's a Planet of the Apes movie coming our way in a month. And I'm, you know, excited about that because, mm-hmm, I think that's a fun, I like that universe quite a bit.
Same.
So maybe if there wasn't a Planet of the Apes movie coming, you know, immediately after this, I wouldn't necessarily feel that way, but it does. It does diminish a little
bit. But, like, if you...
And Diddy Kong does not need to be
in this movie,
personally.
Where do you go from here, though? Because you can only add... Like, they couldn't make a sequel to this and have it be Godzilla in blank, or King Kong in blank. Like, you're only going to get more from here on out. That's what scares me. Yeah. It's like, this is the most tame version we're going to get from here on out.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, space, maybe. Maybe they go to space. No, it's... I mentioned that a little bit earlier in the review, but that's part of my concern with this is, like, I'm happy to go see these movies. I'm having fun with it. I think generally speaking, most audience members, when they're sitting down to see this, you're having a good time with it. It is diminishing returns, though, because... There is only so much you can amp up, and you know, we, over the course of this, this podcast, the history of this show, we've gone through that with like the Fast and the Furious movies of, you know, I think we finally reached a place where we're like, I love this series, but like, I'm kind of worn out. I don't know what else we can do with this. In some ways, this is even more so because these things are just so giant. There's only so much confrontation that you can pull out. You know, the scene where they're fighting in the pyramids was really cool, but how many more times are audiences going to be interested in that? I don't know. I don't know what the answer to that is, because they're sort of backing themselves into a corner with how much they have amped up the sort of size and scale of all this. And I don't know that there really was something you could build to, but we've kind of gotten to it at this point. I don't know necessarily what else we can do. So yeah, I have no idea. Cam, do you have a vision of where this could go in the future, or are you kind of like, okay, we may have sort of jumped the shark at this point?
I think maybe you split them up again and figure out a way to do King Kong and Godzilla as their own series. Mm-hmm. I think that might work. Honestly, this sounds crazy, but doing a crossover movie wouldn't be the worst idea with Godzilla. And I thought about this over the weekend because I was looking at other franchises that have crossed over in the comic book space with Godzilla. What if Godzilla attacks Gotham City? I'd see that.
I think any of those kind of, because I saw a lot of these get posted in the Discord. I think you can do anything you want to on that front. And some people will go see it because it's dumb fun. But like, how does it work within a cinematic universe?
Complete one-off. Godzilla attacks Gotham, Mechagodzilla kills him, the end.
Right. But when you've already fought Mechagodzilla and, mm-hmm. and you know, Kong 2.0 or whatever, I mean, I think one of the mistakes in this actually...
More of like Batman than Godzilla. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I get that. I just, how does that even work? I mean, I think that works in comic books. I don't know if that works in a movie. And maybe I'm thinking too, maybe I'm just putting too much brain power into, like, you have Batman and Godzilla, that'll be fun. Maybe that's all that matters when it really comes down to it. But that seems like, I mean, with respect to Batman,
I think it would be freaking
Batman
fun.
Shane to be mad at me, but like, he just like steps on him and it's over. I mean, like, there's no, I don't understand, like, what do we do with that? I don't know. That seems to me like something you could do in a comic book, but may not work in movies personally, but I think one of the big mistakes here actually is having Godzilla run through a couple of other kaiju like that. The underwater dragon is supposed to be like this like super hardcore, crazy, difficult, challenging, and he beats him in 6 seconds. It's like, okay, well, all right, mark that one off the board. You know, it makes it hard to come back with another Godzilla movie and have them have an interesting battle with somebody, with some other monster, when it just beats the crap out of every monster that it, like, so quickly. When it, at least in this thing, so yeah. I don't know.
Godzilla attacks Metropolis.
Okay,
Superman, a little more powerful.
Okay, now maybe, yeah, we can try it.
I only thought of Batman because this is Warner Brothers, and they already have, sure, Batman. So I'm thinking, like, what literally could they do? You got to think about that.
Harry Potter versus Godzilla.
There we go.
Top Gun versus Godzilla.
Isn't that Paramount?
That's
though?
Paramount. Yeah, sorry. Yeah. Paramount has TMNT Turtles, as well.
Maybe. Or is that?
Yeah.
Oh, you're right.
I did think of that, but I was like, yeah, it's Paramount. So.
What about Tar? Is she?
No, we got a stew. Brothers? I don't remember. We got a stew going. Okay. Yeah, Tar v. Godzilla v. Kong v. Tar.
It was Beauty killed the Beast.
They're just kind of creeped out by her.
Yeah. Like, I don't really know near her. And Blanchett's great in it still somehow. It's like, just so good. Yeah.
She gets nominated. Yeah. But it's supporting actress.
Yeah, obviously.
Okay. I'm ready to grade this thing out, unless, sure, you guys have anything else to add here. This is dumb fun that I enjoyed. I am concerned about, as much as one can be, you know, concerned about these things. I don't know necessarily where we go from here, but I had a good time with it overall. So And Coop loves these things. That always helps in these situations. But for me, this is going to be a B plus, just kind of big, dumb fun. Richard, what about you?
C minus for me. Yeah, I didn't enjoy it, but it's certainly, there's way worse things. It's just a very not for me kind of thing. So I won't go lower than a C on that because that's not fair.
Kent, what about you?
B minus.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Kent, very quickly, rank out these five movies. What's your order?
I think the order that they've come out. Stay with that.
Interesting. Okay. All right. Cool. All right. Well, that has been Godzilla, X, Kong, New Empire, perhaps an equal sign in there somewhere. It was fun. Good talk. Before we get out of here, let's do a quick weekly.
Weekly recommends.
Kent, what you got this week?
Yeah, I'm going to recommend a documentary by Morgan Neville, the Steve Martin doc. So good.
Can't wait to watch that. Okay.
Can't wait for you guys to watch it. It was excellent. What an American treasure. The most American treasure. And it's some great stuff you'll like, Richard, where it's just him and Marty Short like writing jokes together.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome.
It's really cool. I don't think I've ever seen them together doing that, like really candid. Yeah, it's them. It's got a little sequence of them writing for their tour that they were doing. So
that's fun.
Oh man, what a great doc! It's two episodes.
Love that
on Apple Lasso Plus, and
are they both out?
They are both out. Yeah, it's just two episodes that are I think an hour each. So
cool,
an hour and a half each.
Nice, pumped. I'm pumped to watch that. Pumped to watch that. Richard, what about you?
Yeah, I've got a couple things here. I will do, okay, this came out today, so it's more pressing, but the Together Treble winners, you know, Brian and I both like soccer documentaries. I'm not a huge like made by the team propaganda ones, but this is a really cool look into kind of a Hard Knocks kind of look into Manchester City last year and winning all the trophies that they won. And it's also a great kind of introductory course to soccer for people. It's a lot of people find this sport like through these series on Amazon and Netflix. And this one's, you know, even though kind of produced by the team, it's not like they lied and said they were really good when they weren't. They were in fact really good. So it actually kind of works fine. And anytime you can watch Pep Guardiola work that magnet board, I mean, it's just must see TV. So
that's beautiful, fine. Man. Gosh.
I know. Great roll necks. Won all of his roll necks.
That's great. Cool. I need to check that out. What is that?
It's a Netflix. Netflix. No, it's Netflix. Yeah. Sweet. Came out today.
Very nice.
It's I've seen two episodes. I think we're up to, I think it has like six.
Sweet. Very like
40
cool.
minutes. Yeah.
Fun times. Check that out. I'm going to give you a show as well. My favorite TV show of all time came back. I don't even know what season this is, but it is Top Chef.
Grey's Anatomy? Oh, yeah.
Grey's Anatomy. Yeah.
The Orville?
Yeah.
Season 20 or something? I don't even know.
Yeah, 21 or 22. Okay. I'm live on it too, man.
Okay.
It's good.
I watched episode 2 this evening with dinner, and it was peak. Now, listen. I'm missing Padma pretty mm-hmm. bad. Love Padma, but this show is the best. I don't even really like cooking shows, but this one is perfect. I love Top Chef, and I know Richard does too. So this has been so far this season is Wisconsin, which may sound a little odd given some of the other locales that they've been to over the years, but so far two episodes, some pretty cool challenges, and they're doing the local stuff really well. I feel like
a lot of Miller High Life too.
Yeah, seriously. The drinking Miller High Life out of champagne glasses at the judges table last episode was pretty great. Pretty great. So if you've never watched Top Chef, now's the time to get on that. And if you like it, you can go, I think they're all on Hulu. I think is the streaming service. And
we actually during COVID went back and watched, I mean, we had seen like the last 10, hadn't seen all, and we went back and watched them all.
I did the same.
Yeah.
It's great. Great background show too. If you're reading a book or something, you just kind of put it on, even if you haven't seen them before, you kind of look up, you see beautiful food, They, I think maybe more than, certainly more than most reality TV shows, they really do stick to the, the product really well. Like, you'll get some interesting characters that are on this. These, some of these chefs are way more interesting than others. And occasionally they'll play into that with somebody kind of playing a villain or just getting a little bit more screen time because they are charismatic, either, you know, for good reasons or bad reasons. But more, I, for me, at least, for much more than the average reality show, it, it really does stick to the food and try to make that the main point of it, which is, you know, a big thing for me. I don't really like most reality TV, but that's, this one's sort of the great exception to that. And it's partly because it's just, it's very well produced and has been historically for this, this entire run. So check that out. If you've never seen Top Chef, now's the time. Get in on that. All right, boys, this was fun. Next week, let me pull up the schedule here. I think next week we're talking Monkey Man. Dev Patel. Looks really interesting. Nice. Getting some pretty good buzz so far. So we'll be doing that. In the VIP this week, we will be talking about Little Big League, a classic baseball movie, as baseball kicks off this week. If you want to be part of that, if you want to listen to that episode, if you want to get in on our Quentin Tarantino retrospectives, which will be, we've got another one of those coming out. We just put out Pulp Fiction a couple of days ago. We had a great discussion on what might be, what some people might say is the best movie of the 90s, maybe even more so. And then this month, at the end of the, at the end of the month, we'll be talking about Jackie Brown. This has been a lot of fun doing these retrospectives. If you want to listen to those episodes, including like hundreds, literally hundreds of episodes in the back catalog at this point on the VIP, go to madaboutmoviespodcast.com/VIP, sign up. It's $5 a month. And you get access to all those episodes. Like I mentioned, any future VIP episodes that we put out, a lot of other stuff, and then also access to our exclusive Discord, where you can spend all day and night talking to movie fans from around the world. Yeah, it's great. So hope to see you there. Thanks for, we've had a kind of a bump in VIPs over the last couple of weeks. And so thank you for that. We, if you've ever considered supporting us and keeping this thing going, we'd love for you to take that time and give us a few bucks and see if you like what you hear over there on VIP. All right, thanks for being here. Thanks for listening. Stay safe. We'll see you this time.
Hey baby, I hear the blues are calling. Tossed salads and scrambled eggs. And maybe I seem a bit confused. Yeah, maybe, but I got you pegged. But I don't know what to do with those tossed salads and scrambled eggs. They're calling again. Scrambled eggs all over my face.
They're making me ya-ya. Tossed salads and scrambled eggs.
They're calling again.